Could you describe what an empty stomach is like?
I would be so hungry. Well, I would imagine that I was eating food in my sleep. I would eat paper, dirt. I would go outside and eat dirt and imagine it was food. So I'm mad at God. I'm very angry at God.
It did dawn on me until you said it, the number of people that had to pass that house and to pass that situation. I'm really having a tough time over here right now.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome.
And I want to welcome you to your world. Now imagine if you woke up to the pangs of hunger each and every day. Now for most of us, swinging by the fast food line is no big deal. But for millions of children right here in America whose stomachs are empty, some even digging through trash to stay alive, a burger and fries is an absolute luxury. Statistics show that 1 out of every 5 children right here in the United States is growing up empty. Now today, we'll meet a man who endured an almost unspeakable life of abject poverty. Well, we're going to hear his story. We're going to walk through the pangs of starvation with him. His life growing up empty, wow. And as we discover the truths about this struggle and this kind of desperation, our guest will reveal how something happened that transformed his life of starvation into a life of more than enough. I'm Creflo Dollar. And this is your world. My guest today grew up in the depths of poverty, hunger, and desperation. As a child, he was so desperately hungry, he would do just about anything to eat. It's a story shared by millions of children all over America, where we literally have starving kids who go to school just for a hot meal. But he defied the odds, growing up with a passion for helping young people succeed and a spirit to serve. He earned 3 degrees and eventually was named Teacher of the Year. Please join me in welcoming our guest, Kevin Brown, to the Yo World Show. Kevin, good to meet you, sir. God bless you. Have a seat. I am particularly interested in this story. When I read it and went through it, I thought, in the United States, that this happened in America, because I think we need to have a conversation about poverty in America. Yes, sir. We look at other nations, and if we're not careful, we'll ignore that very situation here in this country. The poverty you grew up in was intense. In fact, this is the place that you grew up in, right?
Yes, sir.
And when you look at this, I mean, we're about to talk about real poverty. And we're about to talk about that demonic spirit behind poverty, because most people think poverty is, I don't have the extra car. This is so much bigger than not having the extra car. And when you hear this man's story today, and he's going to take us into his world, I want you to understand why I was so passionate about doing something, not only teaching people to change their mindset, but also going around the world with Creflo Dollar Global Missions and attacking that spirit of poverty. And so what you're about to hear and the journey you're about to go on, those of you who are here in the studio audience and those of you who are watching by television, it is one of the most egregious things I think I've ever heard before in my life. I want you to really go with us on this journey. So could you take us, and let's go back when you were young, and take us on that journey of growing up empty, growing up hungry, and some of the things you had to go through. Start us at the beginning, and let's walk together through this journey as you take us into your world.
Well, I started, like my mom, she made bad decisions. She had her first child at the age of 15. She was pregnant at 14. And then she had my sister. So she had two kids without having a father at home. Mm-hmm. And pretty much I found out, my mama told me that I shouldn't be here. I was a situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you're telling a young boy that, you know, it's kind of hard, but, you know, I dealt with a lot, so I just took it.
So when did you hear that? Did you hear that as a young boy?
Said my mom didn't want to bring another child into this world without a father. So she said she was going to abort me. So she took an iron hanger and unfolded it and burned the end to sterilize it, and she was going to stick it inside herself. And said, I want to gather up enough strength. So she said she took a nap, and she found herself in a dream in a cemetery walking on a moonlit night. And she said she looked down and seen a grave and a hand rest through the ground, and it was my hand. And say, God spoke to her, this is your son, his name is Kevin. All I need you to do is be the vessel to get him here. He gonna break generational curses. When Kevin get here, everything gonna be all right.
Wow.
And pretty much, that's when I got here. Then I was born into that house you all seen. We had a foot tub, we didn't have a stove, we had a hot plate. We didn't have a refrigerator, we had an ice chest, and we had to eat the food before it went bad. We didn't have running water. We had a hose pipe that we had water with, and we had to use the bathroom in a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket.
And this is the whole time you're growing up?
I stayed in the house up to the 7th grade.
Wow.
So on top of all that, you know, and rats, roaches, it was cold in the winters, and in the summertime it was so hot, it was unbearable.
When you begin to look at that extreme poverty, now we get into extreme hunger.
Yeah.
Could you describe what an empty stomach is like?
I remember I was 5 years old. 5. And we didn't have a table. My mom would make us sit down at a milk crate and a cardboard box. And I was hungry. And she told me that God was going to make a way. Mm. I would be so hungry. Well, I would imagine that I was eating food in my sleep. My sleep was to get me to the next day, to get me to school, so I can eat. When people say they're hungry or starving, and you have nothing to put in there, you can feel your stomach acid. I was always little, and I can feel the stomach acid eating whatever or pulling on whatever it had in my stomach. I would eat paper, dirt. I would go outside and eat dirt and imagine it was food to fill that void. I would go in the woods and find anything I can to keep myself going. You know, my mama did the best she can, but it wasn't enough. And like I said, people in our neighborhood know our situation. And the sad thing, the church failed me too. It had 5 pastors that lived on my street.
I was going to ask that.
And they had to pass my little raggedy house to go to their churches. And they never stopped by to pray with us, give an offering. That's why I had an issue with God at the time. I'm not a religious person. I heard you say on many occasions, you hate religion. You love the relationship. And at the time, I have neither. And the bigger issue is, I didn't have a problem with the pastors, but the issue with me was, one of the pastors was my mama's only brother. Mm. And he lived 80 steps from that little raggedy house you seen to his brand new Jim Walter house. And he never came to bring us no food. We never ate Thanksgiving at his house. We wasn't good enough. So I'm mad at God. I'm very angry at God as a little boy. And I understand my mama. She kept us grounded. We didn't go to church, but she always talked about how one day she was going to be Moses and bring us out of that situation. And it wouldn't always be like this. They say one day you're going to help a lot of people.
Because, Kevin, literally what y'all were living off was hope, right?
I don't know. Pastor Dollar, I don't. When I take myself, I can take myself back to them situations like I'm there today. But I don't understand. Only by the grace of God.
That's exactly right.
That
only
I'm
by the grace of God. Yeah. I'm really having a tough time over here right now because, you know, it did dawn on me until you said it, the number of people that had to pass that house and to pass that situation and to know that there's a family that lives there and that there are churches on the street. And I often say, if your church were to close down, would the people in the neighborhood miss you? And the problem with that is if they never knew you were there and never knew that you had impact in their life, of course they wouldn't miss you because you didn't have any impact.
When you live in that kind of situation, extreme poverty like I did, and in that kind of environment, you get numb to it. Mm-hmm. And when you get numb to it, it's like it just become a part of you. Mm-hmm. Being in that situation, being hungry all the time, I had to go to school. My mom didn't send me to school to learn ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. So she sent me to kindergarten to eat, mm-hmm. make sure I got me something to eat, because I was taking a chance. I didn't know if I was going to eat that night. Mm-hmm. So I failed kindergarten. You know, it wasn't a big deal to me.
It's hard to pass grades when you're hungry, right?
I didn't care about no teacher. I don't even remember the teacher's name. All I remember is the lunchroom lady. Her name is Ms. Paula White. That's the only lady that got to know me. That's the only lady that asked me how I was doing. When she seen me one time taking the food out of the trash can and trying to stuff my pockets, she kind of got kind of sad, and like, Kevin, you ain't got to do that. You come to me every day, I'm going to give you something extra to take home with you. And pretty much, that's all I cared about. Running all over the playground and eating. And when I got back to the little class, I went to sleep. And I slept till the bus come.
And really, the teachers were not aware, should have been.
I would watch my teacher walk right in front of me, right by me, and speak greatness into the kid that sat right in front of me. It hurt it so bad. As a kid, the lady didn't know my name. I didn't know hers either. But I always said, you got to reach before you teach. And that's what I live by, being a teacher. You know, I always say I want to be the teacher I never had. Mm-hmm. And that's what I strive to become. It hurts so much when a person can stand right in front of you and tell Jimmy you're going to be a great young man.
Can't wait to see you.
I'm watching this like it's a movie. Yeah. And she don't even, like even when they call Ro, they call everybody's name, she just, and keep going over me. It was like I showed an analogy, like I was a piece of balled up piece of paper. And I used to try to go in the woods and by full time I try to kill myself. I would try to hang myself. Mm. I would climb the tree but that voice would always tell me, don't do it. Mm-hmm. I got something for you. This bad with it. And it would tell me to go climb the highest tree I can find in the woods. And I would do exactly that. That's all I had was that voice. Mm-hmm. And I would go in the highest pecan tree. And Luckily, the pecan tree was in season, so I would sit there and it would feed me. When it would rain, I never got wet. I would sit there for hours and cry, why me, all the stories, I want to kill myself, end it all. And the voice would continually talk me down and tell me what I was going to be doing in the future. He said, first, I got to get you above your situation. And I didn't understand. I was young, but I always had to come out of that tree and go back into that. It was that bad. So you talking about going to school, it was just a place where I got a chance to eat and see Miss Paula White. The lady that told me, gave me some encouraging words.
Wow. You know, if you think what you have heard moves you on the inside, when we come back, our next guest sees the horrible devastation of hunger every day and is on the front lines battling the war on poverty. Pastor Ken leads our food bank at the ministry and sees this epidemic day in and day out. Now, together, we'll take a closer look at ways we can defeat poverty and hunger right here in our own backyard when we come back.
Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. For more information, visit us online at CreflodollarMinistries.org.
Let's welcome to the show Pastor Ken Terry. Pastor Ken.
Thank you, sir.
When you hear stories like this and you know the situations that you've dealt with, what runs across your mind?
It just grabs your heart. It really does. Unfortunately, there are too many Kevins out there. There are too many other people out there who are dealing with this situation. Maybe not to the, you know, to the depths that you were. But there are so many children out there who are starving and in America. Mm-hmm. And it's heart-wrenching because when you have kids, and how much more innocent can you get than being a child? And to be subject to the lack of food and not knowing where it's going to come from, it's so heart-wrenching. It really is.
Yeah. Ken, we got a lot of programs. What are some of the programs? What are we doing to help alleviate some of these issues?
We do every year Thanksgiving. We feed about 3,000 families with food boxes. And those food boxes have, of course, your veggies, your fruits in it, your breads, your meats, those things there. We can feed a family of four with a food box for about 4 days, mm-hmm. which is really a good thing. But that's just a family, and that's a great thing. But more specifically, children, we have a program that what we call our school backpack food program. It's where we provide food in the backpacks of kids that they take home that they can eat. There was a testimony where this kid had a backpack, was taking the backpack home, eating off of that, but also other siblings and mom and dad was eating off of it. So it was a blessing in a sense, but it really still the kid would come back to school hungry. Mm. And so once the counselor noticed that, we got word of it. We got the family to come to us, and we just loaded them down with food. We have what we call a WIC feeding program, Women's, Infant, and Children, whereby those who are going to the WIC program to receive assistance, if they are in immediate need for food, because, you know, when they go through the program, that's a process, mm-hmm. But you need to eat right then. So what we'll do is we give them referrals or vouchers. Mm-hmm. They identify the families, they send the families to us, we feed them right away. We have another program that is where we work with homeless kids because so many kids are homeless. And through counselors that identify kids that might be homeless, we have what we call our emergency food pack. Emergency food pack doesn't require the cooking because as you can imagine, if you're homeless, you don't have stoves, you don't have things like that. So we give them food that they can pop open and eat right away. Those things there. So, you know, we're really working with kids and trying to identify those kids because it's hard for them to learn. When I heard you say, Kevin, about you were eating paper and, you know, things of that nature, it's It's the farthest thing from your mind.
Wow. Kevin, you have a story about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, this particular Thanksgiving, we, you know, we ain't gonna get nothing to eat. So, you know, she's trying to brace us for it. And she said, you know, God gonna, it ain't over yet. God gonna make a way. Mm-hmm. And we all, like, we know what that means. And she kind of like go to herself and cry because, you know, it had to be.
Oh, yeah.
Whew, being a parent.
Yeah.
Can't feed your kids, you know. I don't know what mindset she was in. So this, we sitting there talking, you know, she's trying to do things to kind of get our mind off it, knowing we're going to have a rough Thanksgiving and Christmas like we usually do. And then we get a knock at the door. And I remember me running to the door. I always ran to the door. And I look and I seen Miss Paula White, and she always had that smile. And I, you know, I'm like, well, this ain't school. I don't know why she come to my house today, you know. I know we off. And then I seen she had a box on the ground and a bag in her hand. And I'm like, and I cried. I was 6 or 7 years old. And Miss Paula White pretty much had, you know, my mom came to the door and said, I just brought you a little something. I know you're going through a little hard time, and I didn't want these kids to go without. And we ate up there for like 2 weeks. And the thing about Miss Paula White never did. She did it out of her heart. She would care less if I said her name or not. That this person she is, and like. 30 years went by, I run into Miss Paula. She don't even know who I am. I'm grown.
Wow.
And I said, Miss Paula, I said, hey, how you doing? You know, just being casual. I said, you know who I am? She said, no. You look familiar. And I said, I'm Sam Lee's son. And she broke down.
Wow.
I remember when you was a little boy. And I said, Miss Paula, I just want to thank you for feeding me when I was hungry, being in the church. You were the only church I seen. You were the church.
Wow.
When I was hungry. You fed me.
You know, it's almost like Gandhi, who said he would have been a Christian had he had a better example of what a Christian was like. But the example was so bad that he decided not to be a Christian because he couldn't see the example of one. And the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. And when I was in jail, you didn't come to see me. And it is so important that we recognize that sometimes people don't read the written epistles, but they do read the living epistles.
Yes.
Yes.
And what Kevin is saying is that Paula White was a living epistle. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that living epistle because he could have remained bitter against God, but he kept saying, okay, if you're not reading the written one, I'm going to send you a living epistle in Miss Paula White. And she did so much more than just feed you food.
Yeah.
She did so much more than just feed you food. And 3 degrees later, bachelor's degree, master's degree, and PhD. Now, you have another meaning for the PhD.
I tell people, I got a PhD. I was poor, hungry, and determined to be here.
Poor, hungry, and determined to be. Woo!
Oh,
son.
Wow. Wow.
I just wanted him to tell this story because, you know, most of us have never felt the pain of true hunger. But for many families, it is a sad reality. It's almost unimaginable that as the richest nation in the world, there are millions of children growing up hungry. Through no fault of their own. It's a national outrage, and we should all be motivated to do something. We cannot allow these precious little ones to go to bed with nothing to eat and little to no hope at all. We cannot allow these children to be forced to have to dig through garbage cans to fill their empty stomachs like Kevin Brown had to when he was growing up. We cannot allow these children to go without when we have so much to give. We're better than that. You heard Pastor Ken share with us how Just a little help goes such a long way to restoring these precious lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we can help them. We can do something to help the children in our communities and end this hunger problem. It doesn't take much. A little time, even the smallest donation, can make all the difference. Be that spark of hope for our youth. Watch this.
It's horrible to imagine someone being so desperately hungry that they're forced to rummage through garbage cans just to eat. But it's a sad reality that millions of men, women, and especially children face every day in the United States alone. The ministry has experienced firsthand in our own communities the needs of the people. God commands us to care for them. And that's what Dr. Dollar, Taffy Dollar, and the Outreach Ministry does on a daily basis.
What can we do every day to make sure that nobody has to experience Kevin's story?
Well beyond their growing Thanksgiving Feeding Families event each year, Dr. Dollar and the Outreach Department has distributed over 600 million pounds of food in the local area over the last 10 years, while also providing families and children in need with provisions to survive day to day. And when you connect with Creflo Dollar, your donation helps create, in many cases, four times the amount of food previously made available through this ministry.
In the United States, this kind of poverty exists. And that's why in our church, people can get food not just on Thanksgiving, every day.
And that's not all. When you invest in the ministry with your gift of $30 or more, it impacts the community in other ways. We are able to clothe the community through our clothing bank, feed the community through the food bank, educate the community by means of the GED program through Victory in Education, overcome substance abuse through our substance abuse counseling, offer support worldwide through our global missions teams, and the continuing effort to spread the message of grace around the world through this television ministry. That's what your donation of $30 will help do. And to thank you for your support of this ministry, Creflo Dollar wants to send you a very special gift, his four-part DVD series, Thankfulness, the Fuel to Faith. If you feel as though you've tried everything you can and you're down to your last drop of hope, then you need this Power Pack series. Dr. Dollar reveals the missing piece to your faith that may very well lead you to an instant breakthrough in your life. If you call or go online to help Creflo Dollar Ministries, he'll also send you his complete, uncut interview with Kevin Brown and Pastor Ken Terry. What you heard today is only a very small portion of this in-depth discussion. In the full interview, you'll discover how faith will get you through even the most desperate of situations. You can make a difference. Your support of just $30 can help provide food for an entire family who so desperately need your commitment. There are so many children and families who need your help. Please call or go online and show your thankful heart by now doing your part. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into billions of homes